for David and Rita. David was sent back to Holland Road, having been a missionary both in the north of England and in sort of North Africa region. Sent back to England at a kind of pivotal time, really, in certainly the life of our lives, but in the life of the church, I think, as well. God really put it on your heart to be here for about 6 months. And then in recent days, you've been here again more recently, but God's now got you in Nuneaton. But I think, as well, many here will remember the time, and Dave and I were just talking, it's about just over a year ago now, when through the prayers of many here and many over around the world, God just wonderfully worked in David's life and spared him for such a time as these, I'm saying. Mm. And it's great to have you back here preaching, Dave. Awesome. So we praise God. Can I just pray for you? Yes. Thank God. And it's great as well just to have, in recent days, many have been praying for Andrew Goble. It's great to have you here today, Andrew, just recently out of hospital as well. So, hey, God hears us when we pray. So let's turn to him now. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you hear and answer prayer. We thank you that you've been at work in Dave's life in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for the way you've spared him, the way you've blessed him, the way you continue to work in his life and through his life. We thank you for recently the way you've restored Andrew back to us here. Lord, we thank you for him. And Lord, we pray now in this time, come and speak to us as your word is opened up, Lord, that we might find our faith grow and that you might be more clearly visible to us in all of your splendor and wonder and grace. So we ask this now. I ask your blessing, fresh filling of your spirit on Dave and on each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David. And thank you for your welcome. We always get a good welcome at Holland Road. Isn't that true? I think, you know, the first time you come, if it's your first time today and you didn't get a good welcome, then come and see me and you can get your money back. There was a husband and wife in heaven, and Peter was showing them around. And he showed them this lovely mansion, took them out into the garden. It was an amazing garden. And just beyond the fence, there was a golf course. And the guy was really happy. He loved golf. And it was his favorite place to play golf. And he said, "This is wonderful." And Peter said, "Hey, it gets even better." And he went to the side of the wall and pushed a button. And he said, "You can get any famous golf course you like by just pressing this button." And he was going, "Wow. This is wonderful." And then they went inside and looked around the mansion. And there in the dining room, there was food piled high. Cream cakes. You know, all the sort of stuff that you shouldn't eat. And Peter said, "Help yourself." And he said, I won't if that's all right, he said. I've got to watch my cholesterol." And Peter said, "You don't have any problems with cholesterol here. You can eat as much as you like." And with that, he suddenly got really upset and started ranting at his wife. And Peter heard him say, "It's all your fault. It's all your fault. If you hadn't kept me on a fat-free diet, I could have been here 10 years ago." There's a reason for that, and we'll go back to that in a bit. But let's turn to the Word of God. Genesis chapter 21. I just want to read 7 verses. We've been working up to this for many, many weeks. In fact, from chapter 12, there was the talk of the promise of Isaac. And bit by bit, you've been going through Genesis, looking towards the promise arriving. And today, we read in chapter 21, the promise arrives. Isaac arrives. And let's just read together. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. And when his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. And really, what I want to share this morning is quite simple. But the truths are profound. And it's not things that we don't know, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded of some of these things. And just as I was meditating on this, this is what I felt the Lord was saying, that he is a God of grace. We see that in verse 1. Our God is a God of grace. Secondly, I see as I read this passage that he's a God of promise. You know, God is someone who fulfills his promises. Isn't that good news? I'm so glad I know a God who keeps his word. In a world where the word of people is broken so often and so quickly, we have a God who keeps his word. Hallelujah. And we have a God who loves to bring laughter into people's lives. He really does. And we're going to look at those three things very briefly this morning. With a passage like this, there's all sorts of directions you could go. But this is what God has laid on my heart. And just firstly, we read, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah. Do you know what grace is? Let's remind ourselves, it's God's favor. Unmerited, unearned. It's his favor towards us. I love that. It's his kindness, it's his compassion towards us. We have a God of grace, and we talk about it all the time, and sometimes I'm not sure we fully understand what it means. We say it at the end of a service, don't we, to one another. It just rolls off our tongues so quickly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We have a God of grace. It's wonderful. You remember Sarah a year ago in chapter 18. She didn't have a very good response when the Lord told Abraham that he was going to have a son. She was listening at the tent, and when she heard this, she laughed. She went, ha ha ha, yeah, right. Now, 20 years ago, maybe. Now, in my old age, no way. That's not going to happen. And the Lord said to her, Sarah, you laugh. And Sarah said, oh, no, I didn't. I didn't laugh. And she told a lie, didn't she? I think she might have been mentored well by Abraham, actually. If you understand what I mean. When he was in Egypt and he was worried for his life, he said to Sarah, hey, say to Pharaoh that you're my sister. She'd been mentored well. But the Lord said to her, no, you did laugh. And of course, the Lord was right.
But a year on, the Lord is gracious to Sarah. And she bears a son. And they call him Isaac, which means laughter. And laughter was brought into the household. And I want to talk about laughter in just a minute. But before I do that, I just want to say for you and for me, we are people who are enjoying the grace of God, His unmerited favor.
You know, when I looked at that passage, I just thought, now the Lord has been gracious to David and Rita. And He really has. You can put your name there. The Lord has been gracious and is gracious to me, not treating me in the way that I deserve. I have His unmerited favor. Isn't that such a good thing? You know, some people, I feel, somehow in their hearts, they just feel God tolerates them. Do you feel that this morning? That God's not really for you. He hasn't given you much favor. Actually, He just tolerates you. That's a lie of the enemy. God doesn't just tolerate it. He loves us. He's for us. We have His favor, and we don't have to earn it. It's there. Unearned favor. We can go out this morning knowing and experiencing the favor of God upon our lives. David said it was just over a year ago that my heart stopped twice. I had a massive blood clot. I shouldn't be alive. Let me just assure you this morning, I am alive. But I shouldn't be alive. And this has just been a year for us of just the amazing grace of God. We've known His grace day by day. It's just been wonderful. It was in October we celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary, didn't we? That God's grace. That very nearly didn't happen. But it was a wonderful occasion. Earlier this week, I celebrated my 67th birthday. God's grace. I know I don't look that old, but really I am that old, just in case you're wondering. It was in July the 26th that at the YWAM Center in Nuneaton, we held a barbecue for 40 staff, and it was a celebration of the first anniversary of life. Since I died, as it were. And we just had a great time, and I was able to share with folks just God's goodness and His grace towards us. Just over the last year, we've been abroad 5 times. 4 of those ministry situations. God's grace. We've been involved in all sorts of things by God's grace. I love the grace of God. His unmerited favor. We're saved by grace, aren't we? Ephesians 2 and verse 8, by grace are we saved through faith. And that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. I'm getting to heaven by the grace of God. Are you? You are. Let me tell you, if you believe in Jesus, you're getting to heaven by the grace of God. It's not through our works. And yet sometimes, you know, the enemy tries to trap us and say, it is by works. I've been a Christian many years. But even this year, I've found myself thinking, David, God has preserved you. You need to be doing more for Him. You know, He's given you your life back. Why aren't you doing more for Him? Why aren't you bringing lots of people to the Lord? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, maybe I should be doing more. And then I suddenly realized, actually, it's not through works. I want to simply be obedient to the Lord every day. But the enemy was coming and saying,
you're not trying hard enough. Strive a bit more. Work a bit harder. Then you'll earn God's favor. And in a sense, I was getting into a place where I was trying to do things to pay God back for his goodness to me. You can't pay God back. It's all his grace in our lives. The grace of God. Are you enjoying the grace of God this morning? The sense of his unmerited, undeserved favor? Can you go out this morning and say, this is wonderful. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel I'm doing enough. But actually, nonetheless, his favor is with me. His love is upon me. He's kind and compassionate. I'm getting to heaven by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I hope we can take hold of this wonderful message of grace. I know I'm not doing it justice this morning. It could be a whole series, the grace of God, couldn't it, David? I'm sure David would have many weeks on this subject. But I just want to say this morning, God is for us. We don't have to earn anything. We don't have to earn our salvation. His grace is sufficient for us. We can go knowing his undeserved favor. Secondly, and I really just want to skip from the promise of God to verse 6. There's quite a bit about laughter in this chapter, and the Lord's highlighted that to me as I was preparing, and I think laughter is such a good thing. And I heard a story which made me just a bit sad, really, but the story went like this. A mother and daughter were going around this farm, and this little daughter said, "Mummy, that donkey must be a Christian donkey." And she said, "Why did you say that, darling?" "Well," she said, "he looks so sad." And I thought, well, if that's the impression we as Christians who know the life of God in us, if that's the impression we're giving, there's something wrong. You see, Jesus came that we might have life and have it to the full. That talks about joy and laughter. And I don't know whether your mind goes in this sort of direction. My mind seems to go in all sorts of directions that most other preachers, their minds never go in that direction, it seems. But mine does. And I just thought, I wonder whether Jesus and the disciples told funny stories together. I wonder if Jesus elbowed Peter and said, "Peter, have you heard this one? This is a really good story." You see, I look at you, and most of you, your minds don't go that way. I told you that I'm rather strange. But that's where my mind's going. Is Jesus someone who just enjoyed life and fun? And you know what? I looked in the Bible, and it doesn't tell us. It really doesn't tell us. But one thing I know is, I'm sure, and when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jesus this. I've got a list of questions I want to ask him. And this is one of, "Jesus, did you have a lot of fun and laughter when you were on earth?" You see, I think he did. And before I go on, I just want to say this. There's a time of grieving as well, and I appreciate that. And if you're grieving, perhaps because of a lost one, then my heart goes out to you. That obviously is not a time of laughter. It's a time of grieving. And that's right. And may you know the comfort of the Lord Jesus as you go through your time of grief. But I think for some of us, the enemy's come along and actually robbed us of the fun of life. And if we look back, we think, actually, I don't laugh so much as I used to. It's all got rather serious. And I'm not sure that's what God wants for us. Whatever our circumstances, I think the Lord wants us to have a lightness of spirit and to be able to laugh and to be able to laugh with others. I hear many funny stories, and I just love this one. It was a little girl. She'd been listening to her mum and dad, and they'd been praying up a storm, and they were saying, "Lord, we resist this. We refuse to allow this to happen. In the name of Jesus, we refuse this." And you know, three-year-olds are mentored well by their parents. And a day or so later, it was just a few days before Christmas, they heard her in a room, and she was marching up and down in just the same way. And she'd really got the message, and she was saying, "Jesus, I want Christmas, and I want it now, in Jesus' name." I love it. You know, sometimes things can get a bit intense. I heard something that shocked me a little bit, but I thought there's such wisdom here. It's a preacher, a well-known preacher, and he said, "I got home one day, and he said, I was really tired, and I had a prayer meeting to take. And he said, I knew I needed to prepare for the prayer meeting, and I didn't really have the energy. And I think it was the Lord, it just dropped it into my mind. And I felt the Lord say, just watch a Norman Wisdom film." And so he did. Norman Wisdom, for you folks under 40, he's a slapstick comedian, all right? And he's very funny. And so this preacher did. He just watched this through for an hour, and he laughed himself silly. And he said it was the best thing I could do because it made the prayer meeting. It really did make the prayer meeting. He says, because I was energized. You see, when we laugh, all sorts of good things happen inside physically. You know, it boosts our immune system. It energizes us. It helps us to deal with stress. And, you know, one of the things that I try and do is be around people that can laugh a lot. I think it's healthy for me. Try and find those people. Do you know what? I've noticed something very interesting. And with this, I want to move on to my main point, really. But the most godly people I know are the people who have the most fun. Those who seem closer to Jesus are those who seem to be able to laugh so much at themselves and at others and to enjoy life. Let's not allow the burdens of life, the stress of life, to wear us down. Let's be people who can laugh. And do be with others who can laugh. Watch a comedy. Do something where laughter comes back into our lives. Because I believe that's a characteristic of God. He wants us to be people who laugh. You won't often hear that from the pulpit, but you've heard it today, and I believe it's the word of the Lord to some of us today, to allow laughter to come back into our lives. And then thirdly, it's the promise. He's a God who keeps his word. It says, Sarah, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Our God is a promise keeper. Let's have a look at Joshua 21. I want to just go through a few scriptures this morning. Just to, throughout the word, we see that our God keeps his word. He's a promise keeper. Joshua 21 and verse 45. And this is what Joshua is able to say. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one
was fulfilled. Solomon could say the same thing. 1 Kings 8:56. And he says this in his prayer. 1 Kings 8:56. Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel. Just as he promised, not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. David was able to say in 145 and verse 13, that God keeps his word. 145 and verse 13. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving towards all he has made. Paul. Let's have a look at one more before I go on. 2 Corinthians 1. And Paul says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God keeps his promise. Now, of course, some of those promises are conditional, aren't they? And we need to fulfill the conditions before God will fulfill his promise. Well, a classic one is in 2 Chronicles 17 and verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. That's conditional, isn't it? If my people will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. That's his promise. It's a conditional promise. And there's a number of conditional promises in the word. And as we've seen from this passage in Genesis 21, some of the promises take some time in being fulfilled. And I wonder this morning if you have promises that you've had for a long time that have been unfulfilled. I think many of you have perhaps got promises that have been unfulfilled. Rita and I, we've got one or two promises. 30 years on, we're still waiting for the fulfillment. Does that mean to say he's not going to fulfill his promise? No, I just believe he's taking a long time getting round to it. But he will. And you know, we see from Hebrews that sometimes the promise isn't fulfilled until after we're dead. But God fulfills his word. He fulfills his promise. Well, what are some of those promises? For Sarah, it was the promise of a child. That seemed absolutely impossible, but God came through. His promise was true. One of the things that Rita and I have found over the years is that he's been true to the promise in Philippians 4:19, where he says, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. The Philippians had been giving to Paul and supporting him in his ministry. And he says, my God will provide all your needs. And I just want to testify this morning to the fact that that promise has been true in our lives. We've worked as volunteers for over 30 years. We've had no regular wage coming in. We've been supported by church, by this church, and by people over the years. And all I can say is God has been amazing in the way he's kept his promise. I am thinking of writing a book. And I could write a book just on God's faithfulness in providing for us, sometimes miraculously, year after year. He's a God who keeps his word. And I feel that in the very early days when we started this journey, he put a stake in the ground for us. And this is what happened. We had been at a meeting and we'd had two offerings at the meeting. And it was a wonderful time. It was the first time I met Lauren Cunningham, who's the founder of the organization that we're with. And the next day we were back in 121 Davy Drive, and I'm not quite sure whether Mum was there or not, but I said to Rita, we were going back to a drug rehab center in the afternoon, and I said to Rita, I need some money for petrol. And she said, I don't have any. I said, that's a problem. And I'm not sure what we can do about it. It was before the days of credit cards. We didn't have that sort of thing. It was like, okay, what's going to happen? Well, a couple of hours before we were due to leave, there was a knock on the door. And it was a Christian neighbor who thrust an envelope into my hand. And she said, I've just been talking to God, and he said to give this to you. And as she turned and went away, she said, oh, by the way, I think it's for petrol. I said, you're right. It is for petrol. Praise God. That was a stake in the ground where the Lord said, David, I will provide all your needs. It's a promise that's true. And there's lots of people here that could come up this morning and say, I've proved that as well. God has been faithful to his promise to provide all our need. Secondly, it says in Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. On Friday, I had a car accident. A white van drove reversed really fast and hit the driver's side where I was sitting. And it shook me up a bit. And I learned yesterday that the car's a write-off. And, you know, when you have an accident like that, it's gutting, isn't it? It was an old car, but I like my car. It's just like, I'm never going to be able to replace it with the money that the insurers are going to give me. I was gutted about it. And I was talking to the Lord about it, and he reminded me of this promise. David, all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Can this work together for good? Well, right now it doesn't seem like it. I've lost my car. I'm not sure if I told you, but I'd liked my car. It might only be a hunk of metal and glass, but it was a nice hunk of metal and glass. And I just had to come and say, Lord, I'm going to try and seek to believe your word here. You say all things work together for good.
And that's really helped me, because instead of going into, you know, oh, woe is me, and feeling sorry for myself, and grieving over the car and all the rest of it, I keep coming back and saying, no, I must focus on your word. Your word says all things work together for good. Thank you. I don't know how this is going to work for my good Lord. That seems impossible right now. But your word declares, your promise is, that this will work together for good, because I love you and I'm called according to your purpose. I wonder what you're going through. What's true for me is true for you. The same day, we had our daughter on Skype from Canada. There was a job she desperately wanted. She did fantastic at the interview. And the same day, Friday, they phoned her up and said, sorry, you haven't got the job. She was gutted. Some of you know that experience, don't you? Wanting a job and yet it not happening. It's the same for her. All things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purposes. Let's take hold of the promises of God. And just lastly, John 3:16, I think, is a wonderful promise. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I don't know, perhaps there's some people here who don't know Jesus today. His promise to you this morning is, if you put your faith and trust in him, his promise is everlasting life. I'm so glad I know where I'm going. Aren't you? If you're a Christian, I'm so glad. And if you don't know Jesus today, you're missing out on knowing the most wonderful person possible, having the most wonderful friend possible, someone who will walk with you, who will help you day by day, who will pour out his grace upon you, who will bring laughter into your life. You'll walk with somebody who will be closer than a brother to you, and he will then receive you into heaven. Now, I really don't know what heaven's like. I'm not sure there's going to be golf courses and cream cakes and all the rest of it. And I'm not suggesting this morning that it's not good to be on a fat-free diet. If you're on a fat-free diet, folks, enjoy it. That's not what I'm saying. But what I do know is the Lord's got a wonderful place in heaven for us. It's going to be amazing. Way beyond anything we could think, so let's not even try and describe it. It's for each one of us. And we can leave this morning, if we know Jesus, and say, thank you, Lord. I've invited you into my house, as it were, and when I die, you're going to invite me into your house. What an amazing thing. And if you don't know Jesus this morning, I want to invite you to come and get to know this wonderful person who keeps his word. Every promise he will keep for you. In fact, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to, then after the service, our pastor is just down here. Just come and see him and say, I'd like to know Jesus today. Would you come and pray for me? And he'd be delighted to do that. I know. I just want to make sure that nobody leaves here without receiving the wonderful promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. As I close, two things really. Two things the Lord's placed on my heart, like he did earlier this morning. And that's it. The whole subject, really, has been about the birth of Isaac. And the Lord just placed in my heart that there may be a couple here who are wanting children, and it hasn't happened for you. And that's a grief to you. And what I feel the Lord said was, I was to pray for you. So after
the worship and that. I'm just going to be at the front here. David's going to be down here. Just come. I pray for people in the past, and they've had the joy of children. I know God can do it. And so I'd be very happy to pray for you, because it's a big weight when you're wanting children and you can't have them. And then the second thing, and you could do this perhaps with people near you, or with people at the front, the ministry team. But I just believe there are some that are longing to see a close family come to the Lord. It's new birth again. It's all about birth, new birth. And you perhaps feel the Lord's promised you that they would be saved. And you look at them at the moment, you think, that seems impossible. That's not going to happen. I just know where they're at. It just doesn't seem as though that's going to take place. And if that's you this morning, and I'm talking about, well, it could be mum and dad, it could be brother or sister, it could be a son or daughter, but the household, in Acts 16 came to mind, when the Philippian jailer was saved and his whole household was saved. I know the weight it is on people's hearts when, you know, close family members don't know Jesus. And this morning, I believe there's grace here. The Lord's here just to have you be with somebody else and say, this is the family member or members that I'd really like to pray for. I do believe they're going to come to the Lord. It does seem impossible, but would you pray for me? And would you stand with me in this? And I believe we'll see the grace of God move in this situation. So that was just what was on my heart this morning. So the grace of God, the laughter of God, and the promise of God. He keeps his word. Let's pray together. I just want us to take a moment. There have been a number of things said this morning. I believe the Lord has been speaking to our hearts. Just as you're quiet before the Lord, ask the Lord just to underline something from this morning. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight something. So in a sense, you are able to say, yeah, I'm going to take hold of this morning. This word, this phrase, this thought, I'm going to take hold of this morning. And I want to take that with me out into the day and out into the coming week. Holy Spirit, come. Come and speak into our hearts, underline things. And Lord, we do just want to say thank you again for all your goodness and love to us. It's so good knowing you, Jesus. So good knowing you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for all your goodness to us. Amen.